Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
You know you make me wanna keep my heels up.
We're here for public forum. Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss.
I'm not understanding why, as much as we've talked about the alternative subdivision, that you've heard so much from the public about it, why don't we have a discussion up there? Why isn't it an agenda item?
There it is. That's Lori Sinclair at the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting asking the question, you know, the Fowlers keep coming to these meetings. That's the family that's upset about the Jubilee subdivision development, whatever you want to call it, and they want to stop it. And they have been complaining for like a year, every single meeting, multiple of them showing up typically. And I've played a lot of their comments. I thought a lot of the things that they said make sense, and it was an interesting conflict. The alternate subdivision plan is the idea that if you have a development like Jubilee, let's say it's on 1,700 acres. That's what I have in my head. Not sure that's right. Might be 24. Anyway, it's in that vicinity. It's in the near 2,000 acres vicinity. And the idea is, okay, if you're rural, if you're farmland zoned, agricultural land zoned, you get one structure per acre. Well, the alternate subdivision plan doesn't change the total number of structures, but allows you to aggregate the land use and say, okay, we're going to put, let's just do 2,000 because it's a round number. We have a 2,000 acre area. We're going to put 2,000 homes on, 400 acres, 5 to an acre. And then we're going to leave the rest of it as parks or wetlands or, roads or whatever. And it's a way to cut down on the costs of development by building density, but also not increasing the total net density of the whole area and to provide for things like parks and whatever. So they think it's wrong. I have shared my opinion that I think that it is an upzoning and therefore it is wrong because it doesn't have to have a zoning meeting. You don't have to upzone the property. That's the objection, okay? You don't have to go through that process of actually upzoning. Anyway, so she says, this has been coming up again and again and again. When are y'all going to have a meeting about it? Colton Wright says, well, you can ask us our opinion. You can email us and engage with us.
Individual meetings with commissioners, I think, is a great way to get a better understanding, far more than we could have a conversation in the boardroom. And I think it's also important to remember that when we're talking about land development code issues, oftentimes those meetings are the ones where that's going to be spoke about the most, rather than on an actual board meeting agenda.
Right. So it's not necessarily here at this level. It's at the planning and zoning, that would be, or the planning board, that would be where you would have it. And she says, well, I don't think it's right for me to come lobby individual commissioners. That seems like we're bypassing the public's input.
We're retired. We can meet with every commissioner. We can take 2 hours a meeting. It's not a problem for us. But I don't know that it's right for me to go and secure my votes with each of the commissioners so that before you come to a meeting, well, we know we got 3 votes. We don't need to come to any more meetings. That doesn't seem fair either to the general public that's going to come and think they're going to be presenting something and you still have an open mind.
Yeah, that's fair. If you've been lobbied in private and you formed an opinion, you ought to be open to what the public might say at the public meeting. But as Colton says, look, we often connect with people afterwards. That's why we ask them for their emails. Staff often reaches out to them immediately when people bring stuff up. You don't necessarily see that in the meeting, but it does happen. And remember, people speaking at the podium is not the only form of input that the commissioners get about these issues.
While there may be 5, 10, 15 people that may show up to public forum, for every person that shows up in here and has a comment, there are typically dozens more that come through via email or phone call, or just people walk up to one of us when we're out someplace and may share their opinion with us. Mm-hmm. And I can assure you that most of the time, if there's 2 or 3 people here that have something to say, I'll hear just as many people, if not more, that say something the opposite. From the public, from the general public. And I think that's the difficult thing for sometimes people to see, that necessarily their point of view feels like it may not be being heard, but it's being heard. It's just, I can only speak for myself, but I think the rest of the board feels this way and does the same thing. They take that information, they filter it, and they try to weigh it all out.
Yeah, and the balancing of the inputs that they're getting, not necessarily, because not everybody who wants to talk to a commissioner wants to go on record, on video, be featured on the Pensacola Morning News, you know, like, right? Not everybody wants that kind of attention. Maybe they just want to, you know, make their case in private or ask their questions in private, and all of that has to be factored in too as well. You know, the person who shows up is not necessarily representative of the community. Now, Sam Parker also, who doesn't really respond typically to these things in the meetings, and he says
they're advocating for their stance and they're bringing awareness to it, and part of that avenue is to come to a majority of the meetings and state that. So
that's the Fowlers.
My stance, or me explaining it, or the four of us, doesn't change. They already know our stance. We adopted it in the last land development code. They've had the opportunity to meet with us all privately. I've met with them myself.
And so it doesn't feel the need to every time explain and respond to what the Fowlers are saying.
It's not that I don't feel the need or I don't care. I mean, hey, I'm here. I can explain myself over and over. But quite frankly, it goes back to comments I've made in the past. Some people can try to say it sounds uncallous. I'm just going to say it sounds like a mature adult, that I don't have to hear the same thing from this, from people over and over and over. Like,
and that's true. Even I find it repetitive. And I've been on their side, typically, on a lot of their complaints, the Fowlers. But even I, like, when I'm watching, I'm like, okay, I'm just fast forward. Like, I don't need to hear this the 50th time. I get it. And Sam's kind of the same way. Like, I, you know, just because I didn't, elocute my response, that doesn't mean that I don't have one. I just, you know, and I'm not going to get into a fight with them every single time this comes up at the commission meeting, which I thought, and I appreciated this kind of response from both of them, because we don't often, you know, often there's so many people speaking that there's not enough time to do commissioner response, basically, and they're both kind of, that's their position, is they shouldn't take up people's time. They're not denying the Fowlers the right to go up and speak every time. They're just saying, I'm not going to respond to this every single time. We'll come back to this in a second, because there was something kind of funny that came up next. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And not showing any slowdowns or accidents. You want to be careful. There was an accident a little earlier near Pace and Palafox, near the split, Pace and Loretta Street, but it looks like it has been moved off to the side. Maybe watch for emergency vehicles on scene. If you see an accident or have a traffic tip, text it in if you would. 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Hey, if you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors is a great place to buy great quality used cars, cars that are 1 or 2 years old with low, maybe three, the outside with, you know, great condition, low miles, good prices. And I know the perception of like a used car dealership is maybe not the best. Like, I know you kind of think of a used car dealership as a place where they sell cars that are, you know, kind of getting past their prime and really, you know, cheap deals. And you got to kind of watch out because they'll do what they can to take advantage of you. Frontier is exactly the opposite of that. It's really cars that are, it's still almost brand new. Again, a year or two old. Like our car had 12, I think, 1,000 miles on it when we bought it. It was a year old. It came back on a lease from a dealership in Orlando, and they tried to sell it, couldn't. They put it on an auction, and Frontier bought it, and we got a great vehicle. Like, those are the kind of cars. Cars that are almost new, just not to you. So if you're looking for a next vehicle and, you know, a place that Dave Ramsey recommends, that I recommend, that, you know, thousands upon thousands of your fellow citizens here recommend, Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. So back to this conversation about not just the alternate subdivision plan, but about the need for the commissioners to respond to it every single time. And Sam Parker kind of continued and said, you know, you could tell they kind of had been wanting to say some of this for a while, and maybe were taking advantage of the opportunity to express themselves on it.
Just because someone comes back to the microphone at the next meeting, we don't need to have the same dialogue. Like, we're mature adults that have a memory capacity to know, like, I know what state I'm in and where I'm at. And, you know, I'm not going to tell you some story about, you know, Cracker Jack or whatever growing up. And that was my reference. I forgot. What do you call him? Corn Pop. Yeah. So I'm not suffering from diminished mental capacity.
First of all, I love that he transposed Cracker Jack to Corn Pop, or Corn Pop to Cracker. Do you know what that's a reference to?
No.
That's a Joe Biden reference.
Oh.
That's a So I had forgotten this story, that one of the weirdest moments ever from Joe Biden was this comment back in, I think it was 2019. Yeah, it was September of 2019. And he just gets to rambling when he's talking at a community center pool groundbreaking refurbishment. I forget what the event was, in a black neighborhood in Vermont, and in Delaware. And he gets to talking about it, and it was so entertaining. I wanted to share it with you.
This was the diving board area, and I was one of the guards, and there weren't a lot of, there was a 3-meter board. And you fell off sideways, you landed on the darn cement over there.
By the way, pay attention to how different he sounds just 4 years ago. I mean, he's wandering a lot in this one, but his pace of speech and his elocution is very clear here. But this is where he mentions the thing Sam was talking about.
And Corn Pop was a bad dude. And he ran a bunch of bad boys.
He was a lifeguard at this place, okay?
And I did. Yeah, and back in those days, you see how things have changed? One of the things you had to use, if you used pomade in your hair, you had to wear a bathing cap.
Where are we going now?
And so he was up on the board, wouldn't listen to me. I said, hey, Esther, you, off the board, or I'll come up and drag you off. Well, he came off, and he said, I'll meet you outside. My car, these were all public housing behind it. My car, there was a gate out here. I parked my car outside the gate. And he said, I'll be waiting for you. He was waiting for three guys in straight razors. Not a joke.
This has gone in a completely different direction. I had forgotten about all of this. You know, there's the public housing, and there was my car, and here's the chain link fence, and there's some dudes with razors, and I was up on the diving board telling them to get off.
I made my hair in a baby cap.
That's exactly right. So how does he solve this problem?
There's a guy named Bill Wright, Mouse, the only white guy, and he did all the pools. He was the mechanic. And I said, what am I going to do? He said, come down here in the basement where mechanics, where all the pool filter is. You know, the chain, there used to be a chain that went across the deep end. And he cut off a 6-foot length of chain. He folded up. He said, you walk out with that chain. And you walk to the car and say, you may cut me, man, but I'm going to wrap this chain around your head. I said, you kidding me? He said, no, if you don't come back. And he was right.
So there's more.
So I walked out with the chain. And I walked up to my car. And they had, in those days, you used to remember the straight razor, you'd bang them on the curb, get them rusty, put them in a rain barrel, get them rusty.
What is happening? No! No, I don't remember anything like that, but okay.
This is Joe Biden?
This is Joe Biden talking 4 years ago, almost to the day, September 17th.
And I looked at him, but I was smart then. I said, first of all, I said, when I tell you get off the board, you get off the board, and I'll kick you out again, but I shouldn't have called you. Esther Williams, I apologize for that. I apologize, but I didn't know that apology was going to work. He said, you apologize to me? I said, I apologize for that. Not for throwing you out, but I apologize for what I said. He said, okay, close the straight razor, and my heart began to beat again.
Okay, so this, by the way, you might not have remembered that portion of the Corn Pop story. He's told that story other time, but good Lord, the what? And then this
he's
is
the only white guy that cleans pools.
I know, and right?
Corn Pop's a bad dude.
And yeah, Corn Pop the bad dude. But this is later on in that same speech, like a couple minutes later.
And by the way, you know, I sit on the stand, and it get hot. I got hairy legs that turn. Blonde in the sun, and the kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down.
What?
So it was straight, and then watch the hair come back up again.
What?
They'd look at it. So I learned about roaches. I learned about kids jumping on my lap, and I've loved kids jumping on my lap.
Wow, dude.
And that's before
that
he was
like
president.
The uncle you don't want at Christmas. Yeah. I mean, I like Joe Biden. I like everybody that.
I have to say thank you to Sam Parker for reminding me
of
the Corn Pop story that I had to then go rewatch.
And Corn Pop was a bad dude.
I have seen that, and I didn't know what it was from. Now I know. I saw a shirt that said that.
Oh, man. So in the end, how this all turned out, planning board had a meeting on Monday, and I hadn't watched that meeting yet. I will. I guess they declined to revise the alternate subdivision plan in that meeting. So anyway, just that's the landing of the story. But, like, thank you, Sam, for leading me down this Corn Pop trail. 624 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Join Sonia with Chill Out Cryo Spa today at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Sonia will be taking your calls and discussing how you can achieve your body goals with body sculpting or pain reduction sessions at Chill Out Cryo Spa. You want to look and feel your best. Find out how today at 10:30 with Chill Out Cryo Spa and the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Quick, name two things that hiss. Did you say gas leak? If not, here are some safety tips. Look, listen, smell, and leave. Look for blowing dirt, dead plants, dry spots in moist areas, and bubbling water in creeks or ponds. Listen for a hissing sound near gas appliances or lines. Smell for a rotten egg odor. If you detect any of these signs, leave immediately and call Pensacola Energy at 850-474-5300. Snakes and cats aren't the only things that hiss. Learn more at PensacolaEnergy.com.
Join Keith and Pam, your insurance experts with Verus Health Partners, Monday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Learn how to save money on your health care costs. Find the right insurance products that best fits the needs for you and your family as you head towards retirement or are looking for options now. They will be taking your calls and questions Monday at 9 with Verus Health Partners on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Summer season is here and Florida's summers can really be hot. But despite the warm temperatures, your garden can still produce some beautiful flowers and delicious vegetables. Get all of your garden tips from me, Mike Wiggins, on the Garden Line, heard on the Pensacola Expert Panel every Tuesday from 9 till 10 and Encore Hour Saturday from 9 till 10 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Garden Line is presented by Barnes Feed Store, Pensacola Hardware, and Blue Sky Landscaping.
Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Gracie. On at 4 right after Guy Benson. On News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You see, in this world, there's two kinds of people, my friend. Those with loaded guns and those who dig. You dig.
Good morning, 626 here on News Radio 92.3.
You want to go swimming?
Local, dependable, and see if the hair raises up on my leg while all the roaches run around in my lap. No
or
thanks.
Or mine.
All right, Candy, tell them about the traffic.
No slowdowns right now. I-10, I-110 looking clear. Taking a look over by the pool. I'm kidding. No, if you have traffic tips, text it. Corn Pop's a bad dude. That's so funny. 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Y'all remember how we used to get those straight razors and put them in the rain barrel and then bang them on the concrete?
To make them rusty? Oh, my God,
to get them ready,
dude,
for the fight, the rumble that we were going to have?
See, my
with the
dad,
chains by the Corvette
and
in the public housing?
Years ago, but he used to talk like that. It's like, oh, my God, dude. Where did you grow up, the Bowery?
Man.
How was Boys Town?
Cough.
David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David.
I'm sorry. Corn Pop is a bad dude. He's got me all flustered here.
Corn Pop was a bad dude.
Tropical storm Idalia is now causing flash floods in eastern North Carolina.
We've seen a lot of flooding throughout the Carolinas, and that remains the biggest fear here. There was some wind that even toppled cars on the highway in South Carolina, but really the fear here is that storm surge. Luckily, their high tide was last night.
That's NBC's Julia Ainsley. It's now a tropical storm with winds of about 60 miles an hour. 73 people, tragic story here, including more than a dozen kids, have died after a fire in Johannesburg, South Africa. Emergency services officials there say 52 people were also hurt. Apparently a building caught on fire. Just saw this from the PNJ. Former President Trump's copyright lawsuit against Bob Woodward being moved out of Pensacola. Judge Casey Rogers ordered the case be moved to the Southern District of New York, saying the venue in the case being filed here in Pensacola was wrong and improper.
Interesting. Yeah, so I guess now Paul Giamatti is going to oversee this? Southern District of New York? Nobody? Billions? Nobody? Okay. All right. Sorry.
We just started it. Yeah. So, yeah, it's in our
list.
Play
me the crickets. Did you, by the way, speaking of, you know, we've talked a little bit this morning about how, thanks for that.
Sure.
We've talked this morning a little bit about how, despite all of the high winds and the surge, this seems to have turned out to be a much less damaging storm. I think partially because it was a rural areas, not a lot of people and all that. I mean, the people who lost their homes, it's bad for them, but in terms of like overall scope of damage, nobody in Florida died because of the storm. There's two people who died before in traffic wrecks, and you know, after last year with Ian, 149 people died, right? And you know, anyway, but weird that we hadn't had a storm here in like 100 years plus. But there was one incident. This came out of Georgia This is a guy driving, Morgan Stewart, who's driving and sees, well, a car flying in the wind in front of him.
Holy f***! Holy f***! That car's flying! What the f***? What the f***?
So he knows a word.
Right, yeah, but it certainly sounds authentic.
Well, what's crazy about this story is I'm thinking to myself, so you see a car in the wind flying around in front of you. I don't know what became of that driver or if it was an uninhabited car. And what he's doing is filming. I would be doing this.
Yeah, you would be.
I would be. It'd be me.
Make sure it's sideways.
Make sure it's sideways. That's right. Get that landscape. Oh, my God. But, yeah, crazy, crazy video. David Wayne, I'll have your local news coming up next after Fox.
News. I'm Gianna Gelosi. Tropical storm Idalia continues to weaken as it moves across the Carolinas with 1 to 4 foot storm surge across eastern North Carolina today while in Florida.
The bottom line is we have an overwhelming number of personnel that are on the ground working to restore everybody across the board.
It's Governor Ron DeSantis. Large waves and rip currents all expected this Labor Day weekend. President Biden promising help from the feds, also saying,
while we're dealing with this latest extreme weather event, I remain laser focused on recovering and rebuilding efforts in Maui.
Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell freezing up on stage again.
What are my thoughts about what?
Running for re-election in 2026.
Oh, that's good.
His team says he felt lightheaded and is going to check in with his doctor before his next event. President Biden says he's going to give his friend a call. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31. It's News Radio 92.3 75 right now. Partly cloudy in Pensacola. I'm David Wayne. Rescue and recovery efforts begin across impacted parts of the state today after what was Hurricane Idalia made landfall yesterday. And those efforts relying heavily on drinking water. Some of that water being provided by ECUA. Our water utility partnered with macro companies out of Louisiana to supply 90,000 gallons of water for those recovery efforts. 15 tanker trucks were filled up here at ECUA's facilities before that storm on Tuesday. They then set off, destined for zones expected to be impacted. ECUA says they're also ready to supply more water if it's needed. A 64-year-old man is dead after a hit-and-run crash on North Pace Boulevard last night. FHP says that happened near Loretta Lane. A vehicle reportedly hit a pedestrian, then fled the scene of the crash. The pedestrian was pronounced dead at the scene. Troopers say video that was provided to them showed a gray or a silver SUV. They say it would have significant damage on the front of the vehicle. And if you have any information on this or you've seen a vehicle that matches that description with that damage, you should contact FHP. You can call them at 850-484-5000, or you could call Crime Stoppers if you'd like to stay anonymous. The Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office sending a 17-member strike team to the Big Bend area to help with Idalia recovery. Sheriff Eric Aiden says they're heading to Lake City, where they'll be helping assess damage.
We're in the Gulf of Mexico here. We're oftentimes target of these hurricanes. We've had our share of luck, and we certainly hope that continues. But we're ready to help our partners, but they will be ready to stand with us in the event that we need it.
And they'll be bringing a fleet of ATVs, bobcats, trailers, and some other rescue equipment as well. They are expected to be gone for about 2 weeks as that operation continues. The city of Gulf Breeze joining local residents and businesses in suing Skanska for the damage caused by barges during Hurricane Sally. The city seeking damages of $50,000, and the lawsuit mentions three separate divisions of the Skanska company: Skanska USA, Skanska USA Civil Southeast, and Skanska USA Civil. The city alleges that Skanska's negligence and intentional misconduct led to social and economic damages that they still have not recovered from. Attorneys are also arguing that the lawsuit should be litigated locally rather than at the federal level. Well, there's still thousands without power in the Big Bend area after Hurricane Idalia made landfall yesterday. As of this morning, the county where the storm made landfall still has about 13,000 power outages, and the statewide, there's about 100,000 people that are still out of power. Three people were hurt after a shooting yesterday at the Oakstead Mobile Home Park on Massachusetts Avenue. Deputies say they were called to that scene at about 8:15 when they arrived. Investigators say they found one male victim with a gunshot wound to the arm. Two other victims had already been taken to the hospital. Currently, we have no word on the condition of those three victims and also no word on a possible suspect. 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives.
Absolutely. Taking a look around. Good news is we're not showing any of these slowdowns right now. There was an accident a little earlier near the split at Pace Palafox, Pace and Loretta, but it looks like it may have been cleared off to the side. And 87 North, it's a half mile south of Whiting Field Circle in Milton showing an accident, but looks like that may have been cleared off as well. Stay tuned. We're going to have Wes Moreno with us in a little bit. If you have traffic tips, text him in 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
It's going to be a beautiful day with a chance of showers and thunderstorms, 40% chance of rain with a high near 94. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 77. Friday, rain chances increase with an 80% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 90 degrees. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 75 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you, Brooke. Right now, we've got 75 in Pensacola, 77 in Gulf Breeze, and 75 in Milton. Our next news at 7, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Dom Savino with Your Money Now. It's been a strong year for many bargain retailers as Americans search out deals and seek of some relief for inflation pressures. But that's not the case for Dollar General. The retailer this morning has posted weaker than expected quarterly earnings and lowered its full year guidance. Dollar General now expects sales to essentially flatline for the entire year. A new rule proposed by the White House would make some 3.5 million more Americans eligible for overtime pay. It would apply to workers in a variety of executive, administrative, and professional roles. Workers who make roughly $55,000 a year or less would be eligible for overtime under this new proposal. The current threshold is $35,600 a year. The AP says the change could face pushback from business groups. On Wall Street, yesterday's modest gains ran the winning streak to four consecutive sessions. But futures are mixed as investors await a new report on inflation. That's Your Money Now.
Thinning hair is normal, but it doesn't have to be your fate.
Once I started taking Nutrafol, I could visibly see my hair get thicker.
It made my hair stronger.
Nutrafol, the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand.
Nutrafol has taken me back to the hair I was meant to have.
You've got nothing to lose and everything to grow. Join the 1 million people growing at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com.
Did you know China starts teaching financial literacy in preschool? American kids are getting left behind, but we can help at home thanks to The Sensibles, a team of animated superheroes who help kids develop smart money habits in a fun way. Each month, they get a kit in the mail with a DVD, a comic book, access to an interactive website, fun activities, and lots more. Visit bcs-kids.com today and enter promo code CENT for 20% off. Digital subscriptions also available. The Sensibles. It's the sensible thing to do.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. Local programming from 5 a.m. until 11 a.m. with Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Expert Panel. Local programming from 4 to 7 p.m. with Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Gracie. And local programming at night with a simulcast of WEAR-TV News. Live and local with News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 640 News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Wes Moreno is the Escambia County Administrator, and he joins us every Thursday, often to preview a meeting, but there's no meeting today. Again, Wes, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. It's great to be here.
Hey, great to have you. Okay, not that I want to be the guy who's saying what we ought to have is more government meetings, but it does seem like we have had not many in the last couple of months. Is this different from the normal mid to late summer schedule, or?
Yeah, it's a bit different. I think there's been some FAT conferences, some NACO conferences, some things in Washington, just some scheduling things with the commissioners and family things, and so we kind of fell into a summertime schedule, I believe. Is what I would call it, but I think you'll see us ramp back up as we move into the fall.
All right, so we're going to have a 9-hour meeting the next time around. Is that what it is?
No, we don't do that. We don't do that over here.
I understand. Oh, I got that. All right. Hey, a couple of little things that I thought were interesting. One, and maybe not little for the people that it affects, but Santa Rosa Island Authority is gotten what, one phase of advancement on about a $2.3 million FEMA grant. What's this all about?
It's to elevate 10 homes that elevate them up on pylons, if you will. And it's just flood mitigation. It's a flood mitigation grant is what it is. And so, there's a match that comes in that's usually paid by the leaseholder. And then the grant covers the rest. So it did move on to the next level of review, which is a good sign. It's typically a good sign, a positive sign. But the FEMA has also said, well, there's a lot of things going on right now. We may need to take a step back for the moment and just see how things shake out, but we're still optimistic about it. Elevating 10 homes, mitigating that flood hazard, that's a good thing.
So this is just, make sure I'm clear about, this is to take homes that are currently at ground level and to put them on stilts?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's exactly right.
Okay. All right. And again, it's a FEMA grant that would require the owners to match. So it's not we're not spending money on this. This is just SRI's got the money coming in from somewhere else. I appreciate that. I saw this note that you guys put out yesterday, maybe the day before, that Brentwood Park is closing. For those who don't know, this is the park sort of south and west of the intersection of Brent and US 29. Some people think of it as the homeless park, the park next to the church across the road from the homeless facility that Mike Kimbrell operates. But I assume this is in preparation for the construction for the new tax collector's building and all that. Is that right?
That is what it is. Yeah, we're going to start that construction. We're on a tight timeline. I got to say that Rob Hogan and facilities there has done a fantastic job driving this project through design. Again, we are on a tight timeline because the current lease on W Street will run out about the same time, close to the same time this building is supposed to be ready. So we're going to be driving hard, and we're going to get this thing built. I think it's going to be a great facility for the area. It's not just going to be a tax collector's office. It's going to have a meeting room. It will still have some green space and playground equipment. And we'll look for that to really transform that area right there.
You know, I guess I did not realize that W Street was going to be closing. That's the sort of the reason that they needed to move, is because that facility is not available anymore to them?
Yeah, the lease is running out, and there's some things like HVAC and AC units, some other things that if we remain there, even though we wouldn't own the building, we would be responsible to replace all of those things.
Oh, okay.
And plus, I think Mr. Lunsford wants the he's very on the cutting edge with the services that he provides, and I think he's looking for just a new modified state-of-the-art building where he can serve the citizens a little bit better, a little bit more efficiently, and he's always striving hard to do that. But, yeah, that we'll be closing W Street and moving into the new building.
And the Brentwood Park, that was yesterday to close down or today closes down?
Yesterday.
So how did that go? I mean, that's a very used park by the homeless population in that vicinity. I mean, very used, like tents and stuff often. Or, and people do their feedings there and all of that.
Well, I haven't heard anything negative.
Okay.
Haven't heard anything positive, but I haven't heard anything negative. But we'll work with those folks, and we're not going to haul them to jail or anything like that. But they will have to disperse from that area in order for construction to move forward.
Okay. All right. We're talking to Wes Moreno. He is the county administrator in Escambia County. Let's hold on for just a second. Get Candy in here with traffic on the fives.
There's a flashing red light at Cervantes and 17th and East Hill right over there by Taco Bell. So use caution. I know it's a few blocks down, I like to give food places. Use caution there. And, of course, that red, you do have to come to a complete stop. Yellow has right of way, but better be safe than be right. Fort Pickens itself is closed, not the road, but the Fort Pickens area is closed. 399 is back open right now. And if you have traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Wes Moreno, the Escambia County Administrator. Wes, one of the things that had come up in a recent meeting, I don't remember whether it got voted on or whether it's just kind of a, we're going to work on this, but was a floating structure ordinance for the county. What's this all about? The mention had been that there was some law enforcement concerns in connection with this as well.
Yeah, so this is going to be different than what we call derelict vessels. Derelict vessels has its own process. But we really don't have a process for what we call floating structures or houseboats. I guess the one that gets used the most, for example, I guess because it gets seen the most, is if you're at the old house and you restaurant and you look across the bio there, you'll see a big, looks like a houseboat, a huge houseboat. Well, it's been floating there for years, actually, and can't seem to get any movement, can't seem to make any contact with anybody because they're not registered. They don't have, you know, registration numbers on the side or anything like that. So what this ordinance will let us do is try to locate the owners, and we'll tag that vessel or tag that structure. And then in 21 days or so, if no action's been taken by the owner, then that will allow us to step in and take action to remove the structure.
So this is like...
And it's about making the waterways a little bit safer.
Yes, this is like creating the legal foundation for taking action that you guys don't currently have. Is that right?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
You can't just... I don't know, maybe in the middle of the night, inadvertently connect a couple of boats with some tow lines and take care of the problem. No, I guess it doesn't work that way, right?
Well, I'm surprised somebody swam out there and started living on it, quite honestly.
Right. Why are you leaving, Candy? Have you had any follow-up conversation with, REAP about the lodges, about the funding structure? I know this was a very Band-Aid stopgap measure that the board passed last time around when they were saying that they were basically in a financial crisis, going to shut down without the help. The county or the city, you know, trying to work on this as well. Any follow-up on that yet?
My staff has been in contact with them. They've had some meetings. And we're trying to work with Salvation Army to see if they can lower that rent. You know, it's over $5,000 a month, or right at $5,000 a month. And so it's a lot of money, I think, for a nonprofit to pay in rent. But, you know, Salvation Army wants an appraisal done on the building and on the area there, and then they'll talk about maybe lowering the rent some. But that's no guarantee. That's just the efforts that we're taking to try to move the needle a little bit.
All right. I know there was, you know, the sheriff's office had sent a high water rescue vehicle out to the beach yesterday because of, you know, some surge in connection with Adalia. And then, of course, we found out the Gulf Islands closed down Fort Pickens, 399. That's back open now. And also Opal Beach. But anything else on that or impacts from the water on the beach yesterday?
Well, there was a few. Avenida 23 on the sound side, the water was pushed in. When the bay is the outfall and the bay rises up and pushes in, it does create some problems in different places. And I would say there were no surprises yesterday about the areas that had water, the areas that you would expect to have water, those are the ones that had it. But once the bay pushes back out, it recedes pretty quickly.
Okay, all right. And it's still just hard for me to fathom. This was surge push from Adalia all the way over at Big Bend. Just water's got to go somewhere, and it came all the way over here. Is that right?
Yeah, we had about a 1.6-foot surge is what we had. And then, you know, it also caused the bay to rise up.
Yeah. Huh, okay. All right. It's hard to, you know, kind of in my brain to put that together because it was so far away. But, you know, water's got to go somewhere. Very good. Oh, and Lessing, any updates on OLF-8? I know this is something that's kind of been, you know, constantly haggling back and forth. But any progress on that front?
We were supposed to hear back something with a counteroffer last week. We've not heard or seen anything like that, of that nature yet.
This is from Horton?
Alpha and I were just talking about that yesterday. Yeah, from Horton.
Okay.
No new news here at the moment.
Okay. All right. Very good. Wes Moreno, he is our county administrator for Escambia County. Wes, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for what you do to keep things moving, and I look forward to the 12-hour meeting coming up next time around. We'll talk to you next week.
All All right, now. We'll see you.
All right, 649 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. And, hey, we have a relatively new, I say relatively because it's been about, you know, 2 or 3 weeks now, but ProHealth Florida is a relatively new advertiser. So excited about them coming on board. Female-owned local company serving Pensacola for more than 35 years, making healthcare affordable and accessible. Best of the Bay, best of the coast, best of Pensacola, you know, all the awards. 7 locations, okay? Gulf Breeze next to Whataburger, across from Andrews, Santa Rosa Beach, Milton, Crestview, Fort Walton, Pensacola on Summit Boulevard, and Pensacola on College Parkway behind Sam's. And they offer medical care, right? They have primary care and urgent care, walk-in hours from 8 to 4 at Gulf Breeze, Pensacola, and Fort Walton. If you have urgent care on the weekends, Saturday 8 to 1 at the Pensacola one next to Sam's Club, they'll do lab work, they'll do drug screens, they'll do weight loss programs, and if you don't have insurance, they have a whole plan if you're interested in it. It's called the ProHealth Medical Membership. $45 a month gets you unlimited primary care visits, zero copay, teledoc 24/7, a physical, a flu shot annually, lab work is discounted, procedures are discounted, all kinds of stuff. So if any of that appeals to you, you just need basic medical care, especially if you don't have insurance, all right? ProHealthFL.com or just stop by any of the locations.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy for the past few years. How do you know when to buy or sell? You'll need an expert to help you. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9 a.m. right after Pensacola Morning News to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Leavenworth Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hi, I'm Mansfield Coe from Pensacola Hardware. We are your best local and regional resource for industrial construction and hardware supplies. Daily, we meet the needs of Pensacola's construction companies, providing superb knowledge and code-compliant products. We specialize in concrete and masonry tools, fall protection products, and tools and supplies for the HVAC, mechanical plumbing, electrical, and glass trades. Give us the opportunity to show you why we are Pensacola's oldest and best hardware and construction supply company. Pensacola Hardware, 20 East Gregory Street, downtown.
Keep climbing.
Daniels, four-man rush, and first got him again. Bounces to the outside of the five. He's in. Touchdown, FSU.
The season kicks off from Orlando on Sunday, September 3rd against the LSU Tigers. Kickoff is set for 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central, with pregame coverage starting at 5 Eastern, 4 Central, right here on your home for Florida State football.
FSU versus LSU, Sunday at 4 p.m. on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Tomorrow at 10:30, join the Pensacola Humane Society on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They believe every wag of a tail, every purr, and every gentle nuzzle is a gift worth cherishing. Their dedicated team of volunteers works tirelessly to provide shelter, care, and love to animals in need. Learn how you can give back by becoming a volunteer or adopting or fostering a furry friend. Listen tomorrow at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Get the midday news live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Average for a gallon of gas, 382. Florida average, 369. In Mississippi, 330. And in California, it's 529. Just to know how much worse it could be, it's still bad. 342 east at the Walmart in Navarre, 341 west at the several stations. Actually, if you go a little farther down the road, there's a 339 at the Marathon station. 336 at the Murphy across from the foot of the Garcon Point Bridge on Highway 98. 359 in Proper at a couple stations. 336 at the CEFCO in Milton. 336 at the P. Ridge Murphy. And looks like 341 is your best pricing pace. They got me. That's the Cumberland Farms price, and I never trust that because you got to be a member. Anyway, in Pensacola now, you know, used to be just a Tom Thumb. 333 at the Walmart on 9 Mile. Same at the Murphy. P. Ridge. Same at the Murphy on US 29 in front of the Walmart. Coming in from the southwest side, Don't buy gas there. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. It's just bad. $3.39 is your best price at the Murphy on Navy Boulevard. $3.53. Good Lord. I've been doing too many gas prices.
You wish.
Yeah. No, I don't. $6.55 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
I do. Come on, Sammy. Done. Okay.
Stop yelling at me.
Right? Sammy Hagar, you're not part
of this
bit. I know
you have no accelerator control. It's fine.
And everybody drives 55 now. Fort Pickens itself is closed, not Fort Pickens Road, but 399 is back open after some of the surge that we had yesterday. Flashing red light at Cervantes and 17th, that's in East Hill. And if you see an accident or a slowdown, let us know. 437-1620. You can text in your traffic tips. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. Dave?
Yeah, thousands of people still without power in the Big Bend area after the hurricane yesterday. As of this morning, about 100,000 outages statewide. The Biden administration has mobilized about 1,500 federal personnel to help residents in the state who were in the path of the storm. For the 11th time since June, Texas officials have sent a bus of migrants to Los Angeles. The mayor's office there says that bus arrived late yesterday morning. The passengers made up of a mix of adults and children. And the Department of Health and Human Services apparently recommending now that the DEA ease government restrictions on marijuana. President Biden ordered the health agency to conduct a review last summer, and 40 states allow the use of marijuana in some form. The agency made that recommendation on Tuesday.
If that happens, if they change it, so what I see happening is if the federal regulation of marijuana changes significantly, the big impact for that is not that you would no longer have federal charges, but that banks, right, would be able to finally work in this space.
That's
and
right.
Who knows, honestly, what that would do to the marijuana industry across the board in this country. But since so many of the companies who work in this area, they can't bank with normal banking because of the federal restrictions, I got to imagine it would be a dramatic change for them and probably an even greater. I mean, there'd be like, that wouldn't be three vape shops per block. It'd be 15, you know, per block.
Right.
So, David, thanks so much for the update. 657 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, the Washington, don't call them Redskins, the Commanders president. There's a petition that has been started by a group that is of Native Americans. They want to bring back the Redskins name.
Right, so they can get recognition.
That's right, yeah. 250,000 signatures. And the president of the Commanders says, no, never, won't happen. and won't even, like, recognize the group, claims it's a fake group. And they're like, so your way to protect Indian identity and significance is to tell us that we don't exist, we're not legitimate? Well done, sir. Way to go. You're the best.
Well, you can't have it both ways. I mean,
I guess you gotta pick, and I just think they've picked wrong. This is wild. Somebody got angry that the Beatles Yesterday movie,
yes,
doesn't have Ana de Armas in it, even though she's in the trailer.
Oh.
So they sued for millions of dollars, and it's a kind of interesting case because on the one hand, you know, speech is sort of protected, but it's commercial speech, therefore it falls under fraud statutes,
mm-hmm.
and because it's advertising. So the judge has said basically that this kind of a lawsuit can go forward where you sue somebody for a deceptive and false trailer, which is what they're saying, that we thought Ana de Armas was in this movie and she wasn't in the movie because her part got cut. But this particular one, they're not going to win. So you could theoretically sue in the future. They were asking for $5 million, $3.99 when they rented the DVD. Oh, my God. No, but seriously, personally, I will say this. I would love to see movie houses believe that trailers ought to be more honest.
Oh, I agree.
In order to help you decide whether to see the movie and then be happy about that decision rather than to try to just get everybody to go see the movie. So I don't favor the lawsuit, but I do favor the principle of it. All right, quick future news. Will marijuana become lower listing or delisted from the federal
statutes? Oh, I saw that. Yeah.
I think it probably will. Maybe not this year, but within the next 5 years, I would say, yeah.
Local talk in the morning, 5 to 9 with Andrew McKay is on News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.